We're starting something a little new for a few weeks. We're going to think, what is the Bible about? And that might seem easy to you, but while it's easy, it's still really, really important. What is the Bible all about? What is the main theme of the Bible? So we're starting with a test. This is your test. Have you written down your answer or recorded it in your brain? What is the Bible all about? What is the main theme of the Bible? You got your answer. Let's see if you're right. Oh, well, that was an easy answer. Is that the answer you had? All right, from beginning to end, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. So, and that is extremely important, and that's what we're going to talk about for a number of weeks. We're going to search for Jesus in all the Bible. And today, we're actually going to look at the first and last verses of the Bible to show that the Bible really is all about Jesus. And then we're going to look at the first and last Bible prophecy and show that the Bible really is all about Jesus. And then we're going to look at a few characters in Genesis to show that the Bible is really all about Jesus. And God has gone to great lengths to write something about his son in every book in the Bible. And so I think if God has underlined the importance of Jesus Christ in his word, then Jesus Christ should be the most important person, the most important activity, the most important thought in our own life. And I think that's really my goal as we go through this study. If you are like me, you are very easily distracted. And you start one thing and then you're off on something else. But if we can keep the main thing, and not be distracted from what is the center of God's attention, his son, then we are going to be able to live life no matter how hard your life is. Really, when life is hard, sometimes it's easier to turn to Jesus. And we might say, you'll be able to live life with Jesus at the center no matter how successful your life is. So, what is the Bible all about? That's our question for today. Or what is the main theme, the big idea in the Bible? The answer is Jesus. But I put the verse up here for us. It's in Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And it's none other than the Lord Jesus speaking. And if you were to ask the Lord Jesus, what is the Bible? What is God's word? What is the scripture all about? What would the Lord Jesus say? And so, here it is. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, what is he saying when he says, then beginning with Moses? Well, the first five books in your Bible are 1 Moses, 2 Moses, 3 Moses, 4 Moses, 5 Moses. He wrote all 5 of those books. And so, when Jesus... By the way, Jesus, in Luke 24, he's already died on the cross. He's already come back from the dead, and he's having like a 40-day Bible school with his disciples before he ascends for an unknown period of time to be seated with the Father in heaven. So these are some of his last words on one Sunday with his disciples. And he's walking on the road with them. And as he walks on the road, he says, then beginning with Moses. So starting with the first books of the Bible and all the prophets. And then he's looking at the whole rest of the Bible that was written when Jesus was alive. What was not written? when Jesus was alive. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, etc. All right? We expect to see Jesus in the New Testament, don't we? Starting with Matthew and ending in Revelation, of course, that should all be about Jesus. But Jesus is saying the part over here, before God became man, is all about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, I put that in there, explained to them. Now, he just didn't explain the meaning of these books. It says he explained to them the things concerning what? Everybody, himself. But he didn't just explain the things this is about. He didn't just explain the things about himself. He explained the things about himself in all the scriptures. So I want to give you a help with your Bible reading. I think this comes up later, but sometimes you read through the Bible if you're like me and you lose focus, you lose your attention, and you may lose a little interest. One of the things that helps is to keep looking for things in your Bible reading that remind you of the Lord Jesus. And some are clear, and some you have to dig for. But there's no book in the Bible that won't teach you something about the Lord Jesus. So even the smallest book, I may be Obadiah. I'm not sure what the smallest Old Testament book is. But even that will tell us something about the Lord Jesus. Whoops. So, Jesus himself says that everywhere in the scriptures is all about him. So, let's look at the first verse in the Bible you don't have to look for because you know this verse. In fact, I think probably if you memorize a verse in Quran, you probably memorize Genesis 1:1 because your Sunday school teacher made you memorize Genesis 1:1. And same with, I think, little kids in Sunday school. I didn't grow up going to Sunday school all the time. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you say, well, how is that about Jesus? Because we want to show from the first verse to the last verses in the Bible, just looking at it that way, it's all about Jesus, beginning to end. Well, John, in his gospel, the fourth book in the New Testament, explains Genesis 1:1. In other words, he turns the light on. And he says, do you want to understand in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? And he says, let me explain it to you. Whoops. John 1:1. In the beginning. So it sounds just like Genesis, right? In the beginning God in Genesis 1:1. And then John's saying, well, this is what's behind that text. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, in Genesis 1:1, it's in the beginning God. In John 1:1, as he is giving us more light on the first verse in the Bible, he's saying, in the beginning the Word. Now, where do you think this is going? I'm guessing he's going to say, if he said in the beginning God, and John says in the beginning the Word, he's going to say that the Word was God. And that Word is Jesus. But let's see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, well, it's saying that someone was there with God in the beginning. Not him, the idea is that he wasn't, not that he was created, but at the beginning of all creation, this thing, the Word, was already there. That he didn't begin with the rest of creation. That's the idea of this, in the beginning was the Word. He was already there. He didn't start. And the Word was with God. Oh, and the Word was what, everyone? God, the Word was God. Oh. And then, you know, Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here's the rest of the statement. All things came into being through Him, Jesus. There's your creation word, came into being, right? So now you look back at Genesis 1:1. And when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you're thinking, it was the hand of God the Son, Jesus Christ, used by God the Father, working through God the Holy Spirit, that brought everything in creation that you can see. Now there's things you can't see. There's angels. And there is other unseen created things. Jesus made those things. The visible, what you see, and the invisible, what you can't see. So what do you say about the Lord Jesus? Well, you say, at least from the beginning of the Bible is starting off, and it's all hidden from the readers. It was all hidden from the readers before Jesus came into the world. But now it's explained, you go, oh, I get it. Jesus is the creator. I've said this before, but the big work of Jesus before the cross and before he became a man was creation. The big work was creation. And all things came into being. So that's the first verse. Now let's look at the last verses. I think I have the last two verses of the Bible. And these are about the Lord Jesus also. So the idea is, beginning to end, from the beginning to end, it's like a bookend here and here, it's Jesus. Well, let's see what we got. What is the Bible all about? What is the main theme? We know it's Jesus. The example is the first verse of the Bible, and now the last verses. I have an S there. It's the last two verses. And here they are. They're very easy to read. It says, he who testifies. Testify means what you do in court. You say something that if you're wrong, you get arrested and thrown in jail. It's a legal statement. Now, that's pretty amazing that God would make a legal statement. Now, all he has to do is say something, and we know it's true because God cannot lie. But sometimes he wants to underline or stress that what he's saying is especially true. I don't know how true can be more true, but it's maybe especially important. And so he says, he who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. By the way, who is coming quickly? I mean, I don't see it right there. It's Jesus, right? So I want to fill in the pronoun here. He is the one who's saying, I am coming quickly. It's not an angel, it's Jesus. So maybe I should have written, Jesus who testifies these things. Tonight we're going to start at the Young Adult Bible Study, studying this book in the Bible. I'm so excited. And the whole book of Revelation is a testimony or testifying about Jesus Christ from beginning to end. It's like the theme of the book. So anyway, he who testifies about these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. And so here you have the last promise in the Bible. And what is the last promise in the Bible? It's not only about Jesus Christ. Who says it? Jesus himself. And he says, I'm coming quickly. All right, well, that's not enough. Here's the last prayer in the Bible. What's the last prayer in the Bible? Amen, come Lord Jesus. Did you ever think about before you go to bed at night? You pray with your kids probably before they go to bed, right? Say, kids, let's pray that Jesus will come. You know, you get your kids excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus when they're young. So that they're not hoping for better things on earth when they're older. So, the last prayer of the Bible is a good prayer for us. Amen, come Lord Jesus. And then the last blessing, I am confused a little bit between a blessing and a benediction, but it's like there. The last blessing of the Bible is the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. The last promise is about Jesus. The last prayer is about Jesus. The last blessing is about Jesus. And then we conclude the Bible with, can everyone say this together like you mean it? Amen. Try it again. Amen. Okay, the last, it's all about Jesus. And so, Jesus is the center, the focus of all of Scripture. Did you ever have a car with a tire out of balance? How does that car ride for you? Did you ever have a lawnmower that you hit a rock? And the lawnmower used to just go, and you hit a rock or you hit a piece of metal, and it's going as you're driving. Why are those things not working? Well, it's because here's the bottom of your lawnmower. They assured me these markers worked when they put them in here. Try again. Wow, that's beautiful. No, it doesn't work either. That's my best circle. And there's the center. I guess in math terms, the center is also called the focus. This is the focus of the circle. At this point in the circle, the radius is the same everywhere around the circle here. So what happens when you hit the rock with your lawnmower? I'm just going to make a lawnmower here. I was just looking underneath my lawnmower yesterday, by the way. It was all clogged with grass. I cleaned it out. Well, the problem is when suddenly it's bent and you're turning here, the whole lawnmower is shaking. Or, if it's a wheel, the whole car is shaking. And everything as it affects you is bad. Do you see this? Do you see a spiritual lesson in here? What is the center of your life? Let's get rid of this lawnmower. And this is not the lawnmower anymore. This is your life. Now, what is supposed to be the center of my life? Or even, no matter, you know, what is supposed to be the center of my life? Who is supposed to be the center of my life? Nancy? Okay, he's the center of the Bible. If Jesus is the practical center of your life, if he's everything, he's your prayer in the morning, he's your closing prayer at night, he's what you're looking for in every page of the Bible, if you are measuring every action of your life and every word that comes out of your mouth and every decision that you make through the Lord Jesus Christ, that means he's the center. And if he's the center, how is your life going to go? Like a well-oiled machine. Not that difficulties won't come. That's not the point. But life will be either in focus or Jesus will be at the center. All right. Well, what if think of the best thing besides Jesus. And I know what you're thinking. It's Nancy. Or maybe you have a special love in your life. You have a wife. You have a car or something like that. So what if this person over here, you know, that's very selfish of me. This is person X. All right. What's going to happen even if the best person in the world. The dearest, the most treasured, close to your heart person is the center of your life. Well, your life's going to go, boom, 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 boom. Your life is not going to have focus. Let me illustrate that. Some people, their children is the focus of their lives. Not their wife, not their marriage, but the children is the center of the family and the center of their life. Well, what happens in 18 years when you get rid of those little children? Because they've grown up and they're gone. Then you and your wife have nothing in common anymore, do you? Because your whole life was about the children, and now the children are gone, and how is life going to move? Bum, 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 bum. Because you made something, your children, the center of your life, when the center of your life should have been Jesus. So it doesn't matter. Maybe it's sports. I don't know. I think for a lot of people, especially when you get my age and you're losing it so quickly, your health is the center of your life. Now, are these things that we should be concerned about? Yes, the Bible says you love your wife as your own flesh. You lay down your life for your wife just as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Should they be areas of interest in our life? Yes. But everything in life should be measured. Everything in life should be second seat to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ should be the center of my life. And God has demonstrated that by, in the one and only book he's given us to read, Jesus is the center of that book. And so I'd have to ask myself, but I'll ask you guys too, what is the center of your life? And you know the way life works is, I always lose focus, don't you? So a time like this, where you can see from beginning to end, everything is about the Lord Jesus, and it's true for my life, I should say, God, I've lost focus. This is called confession. And Jesus is the Lord. Whether I acknowledge he's the Lord or not, he is the center of everything. And Lord, I just give Jesus first place. And I make him the focus right now. And then he can direct the details of your life. So it's a good time to remeasure your life while you're sitting down. You don't have any other thoughts. And even before I close in prayer, for you to do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I put Jesus as the first in my life right now. And that's what God wants you to do. So we said this before, but what do you look for when you read your Bible? And of course, we look for Jesus. Now, we are again going to dip back in Genesis, because this lesson really is about Genesis, finding Jesus in Genesis, and look at the first Bible prophecy in the Bible. What do you think the first Bible prophecy is in the Bible? That Babylon will fall, that Israel will become a nation, that everyone will get the mark of the beast. What's the first prophecy in the Bible? Well, the first prophecy in the Bible, as you may have guessed, is about Jesus. And look, this is all the way Genesis 3. Why so late? Why doesn't he start with the first Bible prophecy in Genesis 1? It's because sin has come into the world in Genesis 3. So God is now publicly introducing his son. You understand, in Genesis 1, he privately introduced his son so that no one would really see it until after he came. But now in Genesis 3, he's publicly introducing his son, but only in a way that you and I will clearly see it, although they saw it, Eve saw it, when it was given from God. So, but here's the first prophecy. And I will put enmity. Now, I stop there to give a little definition. Enmity means you're against someone. This Bible prophecy is actually spoken to Satan. You know the serpent in the garden who Satan was speaking through? Now, God, in the first Bible prophecy in the Bible, is speaking to Satan, and I, God, will put an opposition, that I will put enmity, you will be against each other, and that is between you and the woman. Now, when he says you and the woman, he's not just talking Satan is against women. Adam names his wife what? Mrs. Adam. Oh, no, he didn't. What did he name her? Eve. Why did he name her Eve? Because it means life. And she's the mother of all living. And so when God gives this first prophecy in the Bible, he says there's going to be continual opposition between everyone born of Eve, we would say all people, all mankind, and against Satan and his agents. And well, that's true, but that's not about Jesus totally maybe right now between you and the woman. But then, and between your seed and her seed. Now we could say between Satan's people, Satan's seed, those who are his agents, his representatives, and her seed, and the people of God. But Jesus is called the seed in the Bible. Because he is the seed of the woman. Which is unusual because in real life, I'm not real life, this is real life, but in normal conversation, men have seed. And women have an egg. Women are not considered as having seed. All right? Men contribute the seed. And so here we have something that nobody understands. What does this mean? The seed of the woman. This is against the way I think. Well, God supernaturally, without a man, caused a woman in the future to give birth to a child. Who was that? Mary. He's predicting here, and maybe he said more to Adam and Eve at that time, but this is what he chose to write about that event. That the Savior is going to come through the seed of the woman. It's not just generally all mankind, but it's one seed, one person in particular, who's going to be born just of a woman. It's a little indication of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ that will follow, and that his title will be Seed of the Woman. It's the seed. And it's about Jesus, isn't it? And we can understand that because he, and that is the Savior, he the Savior, shall bruise you on the head. Now, if someone crushes your head, the word bruise, like I got bruises all over my body. But this word bruise means to crush something. It could mean a little bruise, but here it means to crush. If your head is crushed, what happens to you? Well, you're dead as a doornail. And you're dead, right? If your head is smashed, you're a dead person. So if the Savior is going to crush the head... Oh, I was going to draw a picture. Okay, so the Savior is going to crush the head of the serpent. There's that serpent. What is going to happen? What is going to happen to the serpent? The serpent is going to die. By the way, why was hell created? Because hell was created before this ever happened. Hell was created for the devil and his angels originally. Why? For a place of eternal death and punishment for Satan. God's plan for Satan, before he ever created him, was eternal judgment in the lake of fire. And in creating Satan, he also created a place where Satan would die forever. And one of you guys mentioned this morning, and it was just so true, that Satan is not in charge of hell. Satan is being punished in hell, in the future. He's not there yet. But here's a Bible prophecy. He, and that's Jesus Christ, will bruise your head or crush your head. So, this is the Savior, the seed of the woman. And this is Satan. But, then it says, what will Satan do to the Savior? It says, he shall bruise you on the head. Jesus will crush the life from Satan. And you shall, now the you is Satan, right? And Satan shall bruise him on the heel. So the other day I was paddleboarding, and I got off the paddleboard and I stepped on a rock that was really sharp. Oh my goodness, that hurt. Still hurts today a little bit, you know. But you know what? It didn't kill me. Would you rather have your heel smashed or your head smashed? Crushed. Well, of course, you'd rather have your foot crushed, right? If your foot's crushed, what are you not going to be able to do? If I break your leg, what can't you do? You can't walk. How long could God the Son not walk? Well, he had 3 days. He had a 3-day setback where Satan had bitten him, I'll put his fangs in there, on the heel, and stop the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. But then Jesus Christ arose victory over death. So, isn't that a cool prophecy? The very first prophecy in the Bible. And what's the last prophecy of the Bible? Like, this is like too easy. I should give everyone a written test. And if you don't get it right, you can't go home. But I'm not gonna. So, the first Bible prophecy, and now the last prophecy, we already read it, Revelation 22 through 20 and 21. I just said that it was a promise, the last promise of the Bible, but when God makes a promise, what is it? It's a prophecy. And so, the last prophecy in the Bible is, yes, I'm coming quickly. And so, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. The first verse in the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus. The last verse of the Bible is all about Jesus. Jesus says the Bible is all about Jesus. Now the first prophecy, or the first verse, the first prophecy and the last prophecy. Okay, this is free. I didn't put this in the message, but Eve trusted the promise of God. And when she had her first son, she read that prophecy. Let's go back and look at it. She believed that the Savior would come from her seed. And so when her firstborn son, who was her firstborn son? Before Abel's number 2 and Cain is number 1. Okay, so let's put both of your answers together here. Cain is 1 and Abel is 2. You think Abel should be number 1. Why? Because he's the nice guy. And Cain is the evil guy. And so, Eve, in believing the promise of God, from the way it's written, looks like she believed that Cain was the seed that was going to be the Savior. Because it says, I have gotten a man, the Lord. Now, the translations, you know how hard it is to translate, right? Sometimes you have to put words in English that aren't there in Koran, or the other way around, you've got to put Koran words to explain English words just to have it make sense. And so most of your Bible translators say, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord, because they don't know what to put in there. But it's most likely that Eve said, well, I believe the promise of God, And that's Eve's statement of faith, that she's a saved woman. She trusted the Lord for the Savior who is coming. We trust the Lord for the Savior who already came. She trusted the Lord who would die and have his walk interrupted for 3 days, but be victorious in death. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ because he's already died. He spent 3 days in the grave, and the grave gave him up because death could not hold him. He took the full sting of sin in his body on the cross. He won the battle against sin, and he won the battle against death, and he got two victories in one act of obedience. And so, may I make a suggestion this week that you read your Bible with a new excitement and a new expectation? That means you're looking for something. Look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that just reminds you, maybe God didn't intend it, but reminds you of the Lord Jesus. Something that you could see God clearly wrote in there. Where do you look in your Bible? May I make a suggestion? You have to actually read your Bible. All right, so that would be step one. Find a time to read your Bible. Maybe for you, it has to be at night. But you're pretty tired at night, no matter who you are. So find a time when you're alert. So I know my Nancy can't sleep at night sometimes. And my spiritual gift is sleep. I'm out. But she does wake up and reads her Bible. And so, I mean, it's a role model for me. Wake up and read your Bible. But look for Jesus in Bible characters. So next week now, we're going to look at the first two characters in Genesis that really remind me, that are pretty clearly, about the Lord Jesus. But look for Jesus in Bible characters and in events. There's events in the Bible too. In other words, things that are happening that remind you of the Lord Jesus. What about the flood? That's an event, right? That reminds you of Jesus? Oh, yes, it does. In places, there's a place called Jerusalem. And it means city of peace. That reminds you of the Lord Jesus? Yes, it does. Symbols. Here's a whole tent that was given by God to Israel, was a place of worship. And there's things in there that are symbols that all point to Jesus. So look for Jesus in your Bible as you read from Genesis to Revelation. Hunt for Jesus in all 66 books of the Bible. To me, the practical takeaway too was not just Craig, read your Bible and look for Jesus, but when I think that God kept one center, and he's kept it and he'll keep it through eternity. We get to Revelation and Jesus is still the glory of God. I should too. And I know things creep in because of my sin nature. But I need to have Jesus as the absolute center of my life in practice. And that's God's goal for every one of us too.